In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. El Messiah come. Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs, bestowing life. Back when I was in college at the University of Nebraska, in a little town of Lincoln, that was when I first became fascinated with the power of the spoken and written word. It amazes me how our thoughts can actually become meaningful to somebody else by forming letters together to make certain sounds, which we call words. And how by linking several of these words together to make sentences, we can communicate ideas. And how these ideas, when communicated well enough, can awaken certain emotions in others. Emotions like joy, and like anger, and like sadness, or empathy, or even fear, and how these emotions can affect another human being in such a way that they actually act out physically by laughing, or by crying, or by becoming anxious, or by maybe attacking another individual. But the result is always the same, whether it's spoken or whether it's written. Words are very powerful things. And I loved language so much in college that I decided to major in communication with an emphasis in rhetoric. I loved studying how words impact others, how they can persuade, and how they can inform, how they can motivate, and how they can influence. Words even have the power to convince another person to actually change the way that they perceive the world around them. For instance, when John F. Kennedy used the famous line, quoting from Khalil Gibran, the great Lebanese poet and artist, in his 1961 inaugural address, said in that speech, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask rather what you can do for your country." And in saying those words, he effectively, in that speech, challenged every single American to not become complacent about their place in this world, but to become involved and to contribute in some way to the public good. He challenged them to a life of action by using those words of Khalil Gibran, and to a life of contribution. And as I was reading through the gospel lesson that we heard just a few minutes ago, earlier in the week, as I was preparing for this sermon, I was struck by the power of Jesus' words to that paralyzed man who had been laying down by the pool called Bethesda in Jerusalem. This was a man who had been waiting for 38 years for the opportunity to be healed. The gospel says that even though there were lots of sick people who would come and wait by that pool because they thought that it had healing powers during certain times for the person who stepped in first, after the water had mysteriously been stirred up, it says that Jesus approached this particular man that we heard about because he had been laying there for a very long time. And when Jesus approached him, the gospel didn't say that he simply said, "Hi," or "It's nice to meet you," or "Why are you here?" or even, "Can I help you with something?" knowing that the man was infirm. The gospel says that after seeing this particular paralyzed man on that particular day, Jesus immediately said to him, "Do you want to be made well today?" And the gospel says that the man's answer to that rather simple yes or no question was neither yes or no, but that he responded to Jesus by saying that because he has no one to put him in the water after it is mysteriously stirred up, someone always goes ahead of him, and that person gets healed. And so the gospel says that Jesus healed the man on the spot, and that the man did something. It said that the man stood up after 38 years of being paralyzed, and that he picked up the pallet that he had been lying on, and that he went into the temple to give thanks to God for being healed. And so, in this gospel, we not only have another miraculous healing story being offered to the world by Jesus, but we have Jesus asking a very important question using carefully thought out words and delivering them at the precise moment when he needed to. He said, "Do you, on that particular day, want to be made well?" Or in other words, what Jesus was actually saying to that paralyzed man was, "Are you happy waiting here by this cool, by this pool, Bethesda, along with all these other people? Are you happy waiting for something miraculous to happen so that you can maybe have somebody put you in there first? Or are you looking for something more? Is your hope in that water only? Or are your eyes open to other possibilities of being healed?" And then, after asking that question, Jesus revealed to all those sick people who were sitting there by the pool that there is indeed hope beyond the pool called Bethesda. Again, the power of the spoken word to redirect a certain way of thinking. Those sick people by the pool only had their eyes and their focus on the hope of being healed by that water after it was mysteriously stirred up, when in fact, the true healer, God himself, was right there in front of them. And when the paralyzed man realized it, he was moved to action, towards picking up his pallet and walking when Jesus commanded him to do so. Even though he had been unable on his own for 38 years. And he didn't even need one drop of that pool water to do so. And so today, for us, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we reflect on this miracle story and on God's carefully chosen words, on his carefully chosen question given to that paralyzed man by the pool, Bethesda, we can take this day to open our own hearts to God, who is asking us the same question, I think. Are we satisfied in this life playing the waiting game, like those sick people by that pool in Jerusalem? Or are we open towards a life of Christ-like action simply because God calls us to do so? Just like he called the paralyzed man to pick up his pallet and walk. The gospel, this particular gospel and so many others, reminds us that God is in charge, not us. We cooperate, but God is in charge. That God calls us. We don't call ourselves. Only after we feel we've been waiting long enough to receive some certain blessing in order to take action, or to have some revelation, or to have some sign or vision in order to take action. As Christians, we are called and asked to care for our fellow man because God calls us to do it as his creation. We are asked to give of our blessings because that's pleasing to God. We are called to serve the less fortunate because God created us to show love towards one another. And we are asked to serve our church because God dwells here in the image and likeness of every single one of us. And so today, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are being asked to once again redirect our own way of thinking, to not look generally towards heaven and specifically at our church and ask, what can you do for me today? But we are called to say to ourselves, what can I do to glorify God today? And what can I do to serve our church today? Let these be our words that resonate within our soul. Words that persuade us and words that inform us and words that motivate us and words that influence us and words that challenge and inspire us to take action as we continue to celebrate together Christ's glorious third day resurrection, and as we say together each and every Sunday, El Messiah come, Christ is risen, Christos Anesti, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs, bestowing life.